This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Estée Lalonde Show. I'm your host, Estée Lalonde, and today we are speaking to Steve Clark, who is the head of communications at TerraCycle and Loop Europe. I have a lot of questions about recycling. I have no idea how it works. I don't know what I can and can't recycle. Let's get into it.
Hello, Stephen.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Good. Well, I'm a little bit stressed out already thinking about talking about recycling because there's a lot to discuss and I almost don't know where to start, but I feel like the first place to start is maybe for you to tell us a bit about TerraCycle and what it is and how it works.
I'm Steve Clark. I'm the head of communications at TerraCycle and Loop Europe. I've worked at TerraCycle now for 10 years. So my job is to promote what we do so more people know about the recycling and will take part, and we can, at the end of the day, save more waste from landfill or incineration. So TerraCycle's mantra is to eliminate the idea of waste. So I know that's a big goal, but it's what we're working towards.
Eliminate the idea of waste completely?
That's what we hope to help achieve, yeah.
Okay.
We kind of do it in kind of two main ways. One is on the recycling side. So we find ways to recycle things that wouldn't be recycled otherwise. And I'll go into a little bit more detail about that in a moment. So if you imagine what you can recycle at home. So I imagine you can recycle cardboard, paper, aluminium cans, plastic bottles, and certain rigid sort of food trays, pots and tubs. Anything else that is a mixed material, so think a crisp packet, think a biscuit wrapper, or anything that's more complex, like a pen or a toothbrush or a contact lens or a makeup container. They won't recycle those, not because they can't be recycled, but because one, it's costly, and two, it's difficult to do. So what we do, we partner with brands to kind of cover the shortfall in the economics, and so that enables us to recycle in the UK about 40 different types of waste at the moment. And that's everything from bread packaging, cheese packaging, baby food pouches, pet food pouches, pens, toothbrushes, toothpaste tubes, water filters, kids toys. You know, there's a whole host of things that we can recycle that hadn't been recycled before, not because they can't be, but because the economics didn't work. So that's the main way we've kind of tackled the problem.
Right. That's actually how I heard about TerraCycle in the beginning, was through the partnership you have with Garnier, which I think was the first beauty partnership you had in the UK. Is that right?
That's correct. Yeah. Yeah. We partnered with Garnier to recycle personal care and beauty products and packaging.
Right. Right. So what's the concept? Because this is my understanding of it. There's a drop-off point. Is that right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. We across the 40 different programs we have in the UK, there's over 12,000 drop-offs. So what you do, you find the type of waste you want to recycle. You go to terracycle.co.uk, and there's an interactive map for each program. So you literally put your postcode in, and it will tell you where your nearest collection points are. It will tell you where it is. It will tell you the opening hours, and it will tell you what you can recycle. Sometimes a location may have a collection point for one type of waste, but they might have multiple. They could have anywhere up to 10 plus. So these drop-offs are run by members of the public. They're volunteers who do an amazing job for us. And the reason that they do it is, one, because they want to help save waste from landfill, but often it's a way to raise money for good causes. Mm. So In the UK so far, we've saved 155 million pieces of waste from landfill or incineration, and that's raised £1.5 million for schools, charities, or non-profits. Because whoever runs the location, they basically look after the collection boxes, they take the waste away. So imagine the location is, it could be at a school, it could be at a supermarket, it could be at a community centre, a library. We've got all sorts of weird and wacky locations. We've got art galleries. I've heard of fire stations being a collection point. And some people even have them on their drives out, you know, outside their houses. So they look after the waste, they make sure the box doesn't overflow. They take the waste away, and then when they have enough, they download free post labels from UPS, and UPS comes and collects it, brings it back to us, and then and we recycle it, which I'll talk about more in a little while, maybe.
That's cool. So I didn't know that. So anyone can basically apply to be a collection point, is that right?
Yeah, well, I mean, what we'd ask first, because we want whole communities to collect together, because larger shipments mean fewer shipments, and then that means a lower environmental footprint for the program. So, you know, less carbon. So we'd say, if there is one locally, please use it. And if you don't have one on the program you want to collect on locally, you know, why not consider setting your own one up? So all you would do then is find a suitable place to host the collection point. And on most of the programs, we'll send you a free collection box. And then, yeah, you're in charge of that location. So on some of the programs, you can participate as a private collector. But for us, we're at the scale now in the UK where, you know, we don't want people sending, you know, small envelope fulls. We want large box fulls because it's much more environmentally friendly. And it means we can then recycle a lot more waste as well.
That makes sense. Okay, so you mentioned earlier about mixed materials and you know, I'm very aware of, I'm obsessed with plastic and talking about plastic. It's all I think about, I swear to God, and I'm sure you feel the same. But it's when you really start thinking about how everything is packaged, it feels impossible to know what to do and how to recycle it, because I feel like all we're taught in school is reduce, reuse, recycle, but nobody even really knows how to recycle because there's so many different ways and there's so many different pieces. And, you know, do I have to take this whole component apart? And what do I do with this component? Like in my building alone, there's a huge, I live in a big block of flats. There's a huge recycling bin at the bottom for all the people to use. It is, for lack of a better word, a shit show. It is all types of recycling, rubbish inside the recycling. So is all of that being going to landfills anyway because it's contaminated?
If there's a lot of contamination with your kind of household recycling, then yeah, some of it, you know, if you're putting the wrong things in, you're not helping the council system. So, I mean, I live in a house that's been split into three flats. And so each flat has its own bins. But for the plastic recycling, we have kind of, you know, there's six boxes outside. And so I must look like a madman every week, you know, in advance of the recycling van coming around. Because I obviously, because it's what I do for a living, I know a lot of stuff that they're putting in there shouldn't be in there. So anything flexible, I go through the boxes, take it out, and I put it in the landfill bin, you know, just because I don't want it to cause any problems. But what I would recommend is, you know, sometimes people say, oh, I can recycle that with my council. And they'll be talking about something like a, you know, a coffee pod or a pen or a toothbrush. And I think there's no way in the world you can. So always check with your council. Your council will, on its website, it will tell you what they want and what they don't want. And there may be some things that you can take to a household waste recycling centre, or HWRC as we call it, to recycle in your community. But they don't want you to put it in your box outside your house. And there's also a really good website called recyclenow.co.uk. And again, you pop in where you live and it will tell you exactly what you can recycle and where you take it to. So I'd always look. My council are pretty good and they send regular fridge magnets, you know, and it'll tell you on it the new things they're now collecting. Because
yeah, but magnets, you can't even recycle magnets.
Well, you can't recycle magnets, but you'd imagine you would keep it on your fridge because it's going to remind you of what, okay, you can recycle. So okay. But my girlfriend has got pretty good at recycling. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I obviously am very into it. So but you know, before she wouldn't always be aware of what could be recycled and what couldn't. And so if you've got a handy thing like a fridge magnet or something in your flat, like a leaflet on your pinboard, you know, it's easy to refer back to. But yeah, always check what your council wants and what they don't want and make sure you try and follow it.
So that's actually a good question. And it's a question that I got asked a lot on Instagram when I was saying I was going to do this episode, which for those of people who don't live in London and don't know, but there are different councils in the city. And why do different councils have different recycling rules? Why is it so hard?
It's because there's not like one uniform system in the UK or pretty much in any country around the world where it's run by the government, for example. It's kind of almost franchised. So each council will franchise out a different waste management company to run it. And so they will have different setups and different facilities. And it's all down to infrastructure. At the minute, the UK is going through something called the Plastics Pact. And the aim is to make products either recyclable locally, compostable or biodegradable by 2025. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things that's going to have to happen is more infrastructure is going to have to be put in place in the UK, because if a lot of packaging is to change, at the minute there isn't the capacity to recycle it because there's not enough machinery out there. So one of the things that's being asked for as part of the Plastics Pact, and I take part in some of these meetings, is a lot of people are asking for uniformity. Just so we live in Southwest London, my partner's parents live 5 miles away, and when we go to theirs for dinner or they come here, there's things we can recycle here that they can't recycle there, and vice versa. Such a short distance geographically, it's kind of crazy that there's not a uniform system across the UK.
It's just absolute madness. And then you find yourself out there taking up all the flexible stuff. Like, do you ever think to yourself, this is bigger than one man? Like, is there a point to trying your best, I guess, is the point, because there's all this crazy stuff going on. If you could see my bins, you can see what's in my mind right now. Yeah. Is there a point? I feel like I'm trying so hard and then I get down there and it's a mess. Is there a point for one person trying their best?
No, I think that's the thing. If everybody just assumed, oh, what can I do on my own? Small actions can make a big impact. And it's the same with every time you buy something, you're voting with your wallet. So if you seek out the companies that have got easily recyclable, materials as their packaging, or the brands that are even going, packaging free, over time, the more people that do that, the more brands will have to listen, because the brands that don't provide these sustainable solutions will be the brands that will be left behind in the end. So
That's true. And I think that's another good point, is look for the packaging. But then what are you specifically looking for on the packaging? Because I know we have the, recycle symbol and that sort of thing, but it doesn't really account for the fact that, you have to take out this inner lining and then you have to recycle that separately. I feel like there has to be a better system as far as labeling on products. Do you agree?
Well, labeling as well is something that the Plastics Pact is looking at, in terms of how do we make it easier for consumers? Because for me, uniformity is one thing that's needed, and also, clearer guidelines on packaging.
So, yeah.
But I mean, I've noticed a lot of change over the last year on packaging anyway, where it is a lot clearer than it used to be, what elements, you can recycle locally and what elements, you can't.
Right. So,
as a rule, I would say if you buy a drink, for example, and there's kind of a foil around the plastic bottle, cut that off. That will then mean the bottle can be recycled. If you leave it on, it means it can't be. If you buy a yogurt container, it'll probably have, a lot of them now have cardboard around the container, around the pot itself. Take that off, put it in your cardboard recycling, and then your yogurt pot will be recyclable, in the plastics container.
Right.
The lid will be foil, but the lid, that you can't recycle that in either of your boxes. So that would unfortunately have to go into your landfill.
So I just, I know I'm talking a lot about my bins area, and I feel like I need to bring this up, but with the people here, but it's just one generic bin. There's no separation. And I think that's something that's super frustrating. Like, there is zero separation. And even when you walk around London, for instance, there's no recycling points. It's all just bins.
On the streets, I would say on the high street, it depends how busy the area is. Where I live, there's more landfill bins than recycling, but the more built up areas you go to, you will find recycling, but it will be generally for stuff like plastic bottles and aluminium cans, for example. Mm-hmm. Well, you might get some paper ones, but wider than that, generally you don't know.
I know. Who do we contact about this?
Contact your local MP. The more people who contact the local MPs, the more likely it is going to get raised in the Commons, and the more chance that there'll be change. Yeah. I mean, like I said, I've worked at TerraCycle for 10 years now. Before that, I worked at and sort of ran PR agency divisions, and I used to promote products, you know, and then I got to the point where I was promoting products that I thought were no better than products that were already out there, or, you know, that perhaps, you know, weren't really needed. And so I wanted to do something a little bit more meaningful. So that's how I kind of moved to TerraCycle. The company really interested me, and I could kind of use all my many years of communications experience to promote recycling and promote something a little bit better. Mm. But I think that's the thing. People just do need to keep trying. I mean, yeah. We deal with a lot of schools, you know, and schools and children are, you know, are the next generation. They're the future. So if we can really embed it into them that you know, and people are asking for change. You know, it's if you look at Blue Planet 2, which, you know, the David Attenborough program, that was a monumental shift. You know, that really got sustainability and the need for recycling on people's agenda. And we've seen a massive difference, you know, since then. So the more people talk about it, you know, the better that is. You know, gone are the days when it can be the elephant in the room where nobody wants to talk about it. We have to talk about it. We have to start making a difference now.
Absolutely. I grew up in Canada, and recycling is a huge part of every Canadian's upbringing. It's a thing. And we've always had bins that separate each thing. My mom has like 18 different recycling situations in her garage, I swear. So when I was a kid, it was like kind of second nature. And then when I moved here, I was just like, wait, it's all going to go in the same thing. So it really surprised me how it can vary from country to country. And when I was 17, I had a boyfriend, and his mom threw a can in the rubbish, like just in the landfill garbage. And I couldn't believe it. We got into a fight, me and his mom. Our relationship didn't last, we could say that. But it was such a taboo even then to throw a can away and just not even attempt to recycle it. So, I mean, I don't think you'd really even see that so much anymore. So I could definitely see your point that things are changing. Mm-hmm. But it just feels like there's such a long way to go.
Well, there has been quite a big shift, and I think we're now starting to move in the right direction. But recycling on its own, though, is not enough on its own.
Yeah.
We've launched a second business last year called Loop, mm-hmm. which is a zero waste shopping platform. Mm-hmm. Because we still encourage everyone to recycle. We're a recycling business at the end of the day. But we need to change the way we consume. You know, most things are either burnt or incinerated, you know, in a very short period of time after they're purchased, you know, after one single short use. Yeah. So what we have to do is we have to try and impact that, because there's some quite shocking statistics. Humanity has increased in the last 100 years what it produces by 10,000 times, and only 9% of that gets recycled. 25% of it ends in the oceans, and the Ellen MacArthur Foundation sort of came out with a figure last year that by 2050 there'll be more plastic in the ocean than fishes, which is kind of a shocking statistic. So humanity is kind of, plastic gets a pretty bad rep. You know, it's kind of often vilified. It's often the villain of the piece. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing material. It's just the way we as a society have come to rely on it in terms of convenience and
right.
So what we're doing with the Loop platform is we're partnering with some of the biggest brands in the world, and we provide reusable, refillable products in durable packaging. So the consumer pays a deposit on them. Mm-hmm. So at the moment, and we launched this in the UK in July this year, you go to loopstore.co.uk and you can order a variety of things like Heinz ketchup, like Ecova washing up liquid. You can order Coca-Cola. You can order Molton Brown. You can order Nivea, you know, men's products, and there's a whole host of our own private label range as well. You know, you can order rice, you can order couscous, you can order oils, you know, herbs and spices and you know, all these kind of things. Once you finish with the product, well, let's go back a step. You order it by the website loopstore.co.uk. it comes to you in our what we call a Loop reusable tote. So instead of using a cardboard box and bubble wrap inside like most e-commerce systems, we have it folds down flat. I can show you it if you're interested.
Well, the audience can't see it, but.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, that's a good point. it comes in a reusable tote that can be cleaned once we receive it back. And inside, rather than using all things like bubble wrap, you've got we've come up with a whole host of innovative ways to keep things from breaking in transit that again can be reused. You use the product as normal. You've paid a deposit on it when you bought it, and then let's say at the end of your order, you've ordered 10 things. Let's say you've ordered the likes of shampoo, home cleaning products. You've ordered Heinz ketchup. You've ordered pasta. You've ordered rice, and then you decide at the end of that month, right? I don't want the shampoo this month, but I'm going to reorder all the other things. As you've reordered and you've got another container from us, we keep the deposit because you're still using it. But on the shampoo, because you're now not going to use it, you get your deposit back because you finish with it in the system. Once you finish with it, we come and collect it, take it away. It gets cleaned industrially by Loop, and then it goes back to the manufacturer to be refilled. And then that container comes back to us, and then it will go off to the next consumer, and it will be reused again and again and again. So the products have to be reusable. The packaging has to be reusable a minimum of 10 times, and we hope anywhere up to 100. And so if you think about it, the biggest impact is creating virgin plastics to create a new product and using the energy to create it. And so by taking that element out of the equation, once you've made it and you're reusing it again and again and again, it's a big impact, a big upgrade for the environment.
That sounds like a logistical nightmare for you guys.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, over time, if we can make the system become big enough, last year we launched it in the US and in France. So the UK this year was the third market to launch. And we launched it with Tesco. So at the moment, we've set up as a retailer. So you're ordering your products from us, we're delivering it to you. But over time, in early 2021, it's going to be moving into the first Tesco stores.
I see.
What you'll be able to do, there'll be like a Loop aisle or a Loop end cap, as they call it. Mm. You'll be able to go in and you'll be able to pick up your favourite products in reusable, refillable containers directly off the shelf, or you'll be able to order them via Tesco's e-commerce facility and they'll deliver it to you via their own drivers.
That's cool.
That's where we're going to get the big scale.
That is cool.
In France, we're going through that phase right now. Because it launched last year, we're now launching into the first Carrefour stores, which is kind of a big French retailer. And you're able to order products as well via their e-commerce delivery system as well. Mm. Next year as well, we're launching into some new markets. We're going to launch into Japan with Aeon, who's the big retailer. We're going to launch into Australia with Woolworths. And we're going to launch into Canada with Loblaw. So our aim is to make reuse as convenient as single use. So we want all the benefits of convenience, but without the disposability. So
that's cool, because that's exactly it. People are very lazy, and I am lazy. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be, figuring all this stuff out. I got enough on my plate without this, but that does make it very easy, and that's exciting. And I actually have refillable bottles. I think the company is called Fill. And you go to the local place and you fill it up. It's actually really nice and it's fun and it's good quality and you feel like you're making a difference. But I want to talk a little bit about beauty, since that's the industry that I work in. And I'm a blogger, influencer, whatever you want to call us. But oh my God, the amount of waste is unreal in the beauty industry. And that's why I thought it was super cool that Garnier was working with you guys. But
hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I guess if you were a beauty startup, you know, it's you're just about to launch a new company. Is it enough to launch with, you know, recycled plastic containers? Should you be launching with glass? Because glass is also heavy. You know, when you think about shipping that carbon footprint is not great. And there's all these other things. But, you know, a lot of startup companies don't have the resources to have that circular economy, you know, where you can return the bottles and you will refill them and that sort of thing. Or how should a company start today going forward?
What we always recommend is that companies design their packaging for recyclability. So design it so it can be recycled locally by, you know, the council recycling systems. Often beauty products and personal care products are a mix. If you think about it, they're designed to be alluring. They're designed for you to pick it off the shelf and then want to take it away with you, you know. And so it often contains multiple materials. You might have multiple polymers or plastics. You might have a glass compact. You might have, there might be some paper inserts. There's a whole host of different things within these, and that's what makes it difficult. But we always recommend that brands think for recyclability at a local level. And that then makes a big difference down the line. Many brands as well are also going kind of packaging free or naked, as they call them. And then, you know, we work with a lot of smaller brands as well on the Loop system. So we work with a company called Noice, for example, which is a new French startup. And it's an organic toothpaste gel. So it comes in a small glass container and it's got a pump top, and you literally just pump it onto your, I now use this product. You know, it was an alien concept to me. And the first few times I cleaned my teeth, it seems different. You know, it's not a paste like you're used to, but it's really good. So
you like it.
We work with big brands. We work with small brands. You know, we work with organic brands. We work with you know some of the world's biggest FMCG brands. You know, we don't make a decision on is a product a good product or a bad product. If it's a product that's for sale that people are buying, then it's it's a way for us to reduce impact by making it reusable. So
right, the reducing is the key, and I know I've seen that so many brands do that sort of thing. Like you can get a little tablet and you mix it in water, and then that's mouthwash. You know, that's reducing the amount of water in the formulations. And are these solid formulations kind of the way? I don't know how much you know about beauty, but do you think that's the way forward just because it's less packaging and you don't have to add so much water, therefore the packaging is smaller?
I think it can definitely help, and it's definitely a way forward. Okay. I mean, I because we have various programs for beauty, I often get asked to kind of contribute on, beauty related recycling topics. We also have a program as well with Maybelline, which we launched a few months ago, and that's called Makeup, Not Make Waste. And they have put recycling boxes in 1,000 stores across the UK. So they're in Tesco stores, Sainsbury's stores, Superdrug stores, and Boots stores. And you can take any kind of makeup packaging, except for nail varnish removers and makeup brushes. Anything else of any brand, you can take and drop off into those stores. There's a map on our website, or you can go to maybelline.co.uk and there's a map there. And it'll all get recycled, and that's the biggest makeup recycling program, in the UK's history.
Right, because I was reading somewhere that it's bathroom waste that's kind of a huge problem. Because you're in your kitchen and you think, oh, this can of chickpeas, I could definitely recycle that. But when you're, in your bathroom and you're like, oh, I just finished up that jar of face cream, it's like in the bin it goes. And I know I've seen some campaigns that are trying to get people to have specific little bins in their bathroom to recycle it properly, but then it goes back to like, well, I don't really know where to put it. That's why I love TerraCycle, because you can just put it there and you guys deal with it. Is that
when Garnier launched that program with us in the UK? It's called the Personal Care and Beauty Recycling Program. They carried out some research, and the research, I can't remember all the stats off the top of my head, but one of the big things is a lot of people don't recycle in their bathroom because they've only got one bin.
Yeah,
and so they think it's too difficult. It's too difficult to remember. But I mean, how difficult is it when you finish with something in your bathroom to walk into your kitchen and then put it in your plastic recycling bin or into your landfill bin, you know, depending on what it is. It's and it comes back to convenience. And I think that's the thing. The more convenient you can make recycling and the more convenient you can make reuse, the more take up you'll get from consumers.
So you said that, you know, you gave some stats earlier in the show, which I can't remember because my brain doesn't work. But what happens to all the stuff that doesn't get recycled? It just goes in the landfill and then it ends up in the ocean or in China or wherever it goes? Like, who even knows?
The majority of waste, you know, after one single use will be either burned, so it'll be incinerated. And that does reclaim some energy. But, you know, there's... if you think of all the energy that went into creating that packaging in the first place, you know, to then burn it is kind of crazy. A lot of it gets landfilled. I mean, there is going to be less landfill going forward in the UK, so more waste will be burned. But that's generally what happens to it. If it goes into landfill, you know, does it end up in the ocean? You know, probably not. It's stuff that's being littered that ends up in rivers or ends up in canals that eventually will make its way to the ocean. So during the lockdown, you know, I've seen people, and we've done it ourselves, you know, if you go for a walk somewhere, pick up litter, you know. I've actually got a litter grabber here. When we go for a walk, we take it with us. And things like face masks is kind of crazy at the moment, because the whole world is reliant on them, you know. But just to throw them on the floor when you finish with it is madness. Take it home with you or put it in the bin on the street.
Yeah, I was in Epping Forest a couple of weekends ago, and it was just beautiful forest. And somebody had littered like a McDonald's bag and a bunch of other stuff. And I was just mortified to just like actually throw something on the ground. I mean, I don't know. It just feels so wrong. But it does happen. Okay, maybe I need a litter grabber.
they're quite a handy little tool, actually. shall I tell you what we do with the waste? Because
yeah.
It's a question people often ask. So what happens when the waste gets sent into TerraCycle via UPS? It goes up to our warehouse just outside Darwin near Blackburn, and we aggregate it till we've got enough. If you can imagine, we often are dealing with a difficult waste stream, or we're dealing with a waste stream that sometimes isn't the nicest waste stream. Imagine if it's baby food pouches or pet food pouches. So we collect a large volume. So we'll often probably need between 10 or 20 tons before economically it's viable for us to process it. So we get the best recycling cost. It'll go to one of the processors that we use in the UK. We have a number of different ones. And our R&D team will come up with a process to recycle this waste that has never been really recycled before. So we then find the guys that have got the right equipment, and we walk them through the process for them to follow. The first stage is generally the material is shredded, and then it's cleaned. And then we melt it down into either small pellets or small flakes. And then that material, we either blend it with other plastics, other post-consumer recycled plastics, so that's, you know, the recycled element, or sometimes the flakes or the pellets can be used on their own. And we then either supply or we sell that to manufacturers of products. And it'll be used for things like outdoor furniture, garden benches or picnic tables, or, you know, it could be waste bins, or it could be storage containers, or often there's quite a lot of the material gets used in industrial applications like building sites. And so it could get used in the likes of drainage systems, for example. So the beauty of these manufacturers using our recycled material is they're then not creating new virgin plastics to produce for their new products. So it's kind of reducing down the amount of resources we're extracting from the planet.
Okay, I've got it. So you get all the plastic, you do all the work and clean it and put it into pellets and make it into different plastic post-consumer. What would you call it? Is it, what's it called? PCR? No.
PCR, post-consumer recycled.
Yeah. Yeah. See? I'm trying. Yeah, and then you sell that. So that's basically how TerraCycle makes this possible. Is that right?
Well, we either sell it, or sometimes if there's any value in the material, but often the material we deal with is what we call cost negative. So it makes a loss to recycle it than what you can sell the material for. In those instances, we have to supply that material to the manufacturers for free.
Right.
And the way we make the system work is the brands that partner with us. So think, you know, Garnier, like you mentioned, for personal care. Think Maybelline for makeup. Think Hovis for bread packaging, or Bic for pens, or Colgate for toothbrushes, toothpaste tubes. Cathedral City for cheese packaging. You know, the list goes on and on. they cover the shortfall in the economics. So they pay for the consumers to send the waste into us for free. They pay the charity element, and they cover the shortfall in what it costs us to collect, separate, and recycle, and what we can then either sell or we make a loss on the recycled pellet material from.
I feel like these huge brands, they get a bad reputation in a way because they are responsible for producing all this stuff, right? Like, why is Hovis using plastic packaging for their bread anyway? You know, like these are the questions that I have, but actually they are helping as well. In the same,
yeah. Well, I mean, all the brands that sponsor our programs, you know, that it's voluntary. They don't have to do so. I mean, they do get benefits from doing it. You know, they can put the TerraCycle logo on their pack, so consumers know they can recycle it. You know, they often can do promotions in store, so they get incremental space. So it's all about us helping them to you know, get return on investment from funding the program to what they're able to do to benefit themselves, really.
So. Yeah, that's fair. And also, you know, it takes a long time for a huge brand like that to be able to completely rethink their packaging structure. You know, you can't just change that overnight.
It's what they're all doing now. You know, there's 2025 targets, the 2030 targets, you know, to become locally recyclable, compostable, or biodegradable. So all of these brands that we partner with are going through that process now in terms of how do they change their packaging to meet those goals and deadlines. Mm.
So biodegradability and compostability, that is key, would you say? That is where things are heading?
It's one of the elements that the Plastics Pact is looking at. The thing with biodegradability at the moment is there isn't a great infrastructure across the UK where you can actually, that has the right conditions for materials to be biodegradable. So sometimes you might buy a product that says it's biodegradable. It's biodegradable in the perfect lab conditions, but if you were to pop it in your home composter, it wouldn't work. It would need to go to one of the dedicated sites around the UK, and I think there's less than 100. There's not many of them. I think that's the thing. So there needs to be a much wider infrastructure, and it's very much like I said earlier for recycling. You know, if by 2025, if everything moves to being locally recyclable, at the minute there isn't the infrastructure to deal with it all. So that's another thing that's part of the Plastics Pact is building the infrastructure across the UK so that there's the capacity to deal with all of this.
Right. Okay. So that's about as much information as I can personally handle on this subject. But for those people listening and people like me as well, I mean, okay, we've listened to this. We've heard what you said. We want to make a difference. Is it reduce the amount of things you're buying and consuming and that sort of thing? Try to find things that can be recycled, recycle them properly. What else can people do?
I think there's the three R's: reduce, reuse, recycle. In that order, that's what we would recommend that you try and do. And make sure that you're making it, you know, informed purchases. You know, buy products that are using the right type of packaging that is easily recyclable at a local level. Mm-hmm. And, you know, can you get things, you know, via reuse and refill? You know, there's our system out there, but, you know, there are independent zero waste shops where you can go and refill your own containers as well. You know, look for the right options.
Yeah.
The more the consumer votes with their wallet and buying the sustainable choices, the more brands are going to have to listen and implement those kind of systems themselves. So you can make a difference. If everybody makes small, you know, changes to their lifestyle, you know, it can make a big difference overall.
It can, but it's really the industrial level that is the big player here. Is that right? So the voting with the wallet is very important.
Yes, that's the thing. If everybody starts buying environmentally friendly choices, then brands who maybe aren't moving as quickly will very soon have to start making that move, because otherwise they're going to be left behind.
Yeah. So you have hope. I can see in your eyes that you have hope.
Definitely. I mean, ever since Blue Planet 2, like I mentioned, in the UK, 3 years ago now, we've seen a massive upward shift in the UK. You know, retailers are now a lot more aware and are making changes. You know, brands are making changes. We've got, in the last 3 years, we've probably launched 25 programs. You know, we're a lot more on people's radar. Brands are looking for, you know, for recycling solutions in a way to give the consumer the opportunity.
Yeah.
And consumers are a lot more aware. They're a lot more savvy. You know, they're asking the right questions. They're making the right choices. So, yeah, I definitely am hopeful. It's a long way to go, but yeah, we are making progress.
Yeah, I definitely feel it in the collective consciousness. But yeah, it's also really scary in a way to talk about it, because it's like, I don't know. You know, it's kind of one of those conversations. It's like nerve-wracking. It's like, I don't know. Do I have to rinse this out before I recycle it? Why do I not know the answer to that?
Yeah, but the thing is, you're asking the questions, and that's good, and that's why, you know, this podcast is a great thing, because everyone who kind of listens to it is probably thinking exactly the same questions. You know, it gets the debate going, it gets people thinking, it gets people looking for the answers. But like I said, recyclenow.co.uk is a brilliant website. Have a look. All you have to do is put your postcode in, and it will tell you what you can recycle locally at home, if you're not sure, and it will also tell you where else in your community you can go to take things. The big thing I like people to know is about the economies of waste, the economics of waste. You know, whilst we as a business know you can pretty much recycle anything, and bear in mind we recycle chewing gum in some countries, we recycle cigarette butts, we recycle dirty nappies in Amsterdam at the moment, we're running a pilot there. Most things aren't recycled purely due to economics. It's difficult to collect and separate things out, and then it costs more to recycle it than the end value of that recycled material. And that's why it's not recycled. So if you can make the economics work, and we do that by partnering with the brands that I mentioned earlier. But I mean, longer term, is there a way for the government to get involved here? You know, and then that way, everything, no matter what it is, could be recycled. But at the end of the day, you've got to find a way to make the economics work. You've got to find a way to fund it. So that, I think, is a big important thing that people kind of need to understand, really.
Yeah, once again, politics come into play. I mean, it's never ending, but it's true. It feels like a lot of this is on the consumer's shoulders, but actually, why is the government not stepping up and making this possible, you know? But that's another podcast.
Yeah, it is. I've talked a number of times about the Plastics Pact, you know, and the government is involved in that. You know, RAP is the department that kind of looks after it. And they are involved, but as to whether, you know, would the government, you know, find a big pot of money just to recycle everything? Probably not. You know, we need to be clever as a society in terms of what we consume. And then, you know, a big part of it is on brands. You know, part of the Plastics Pact, there will be deposit return schemes, where, you know, imagine if you buy a drinks bottle when you're out somewhere, you'll get that deposit back once you put it in the right place. So, and that'll ensure it's recycled, because the most highly recyclable type of plastic in the UK is kind of drinking bottles, or, you know, or the same kind of bottles as well that shampoo or conditioner or whatever comes in. But only about 45% of what it's put on the market actually gets recycled. And it's largely down to people putting stuff in the wrong bins. So.
Yeah, I mean, you just reminded me, in Canada we have the beer store, which I believe is like a government, I feel like the government run the beer stores in Canada. You can only buy beer there, it's crazy. But anyway, they had, I don't know if they still do, I haven't lived in Canada for 10 years now, but you used to be able to bring your bottles back, all your empty bottles, they'd give you money towards your next case of beer, and everybody would bring their beers back. It was like you would go to a party and people would want to keep their own beer bottles, so you could bring it back.
They still have that kind of a system in Germany with a deposit return scheme, and it's kind of what we're trying to bring back with our loop system. You know, we took inspiration from the old milkman model. I remember when I was when I was a kid, everyone had stuff delivered by the milkman. We even had we had pop delivered, or, you know, fizzy drinks in glass bottles. You know, weird and wacky flavors like limeade and dandelion and burdock and all these kind of things, and then you got your deposit back when you gave the bottle back at the end, and that's kind of died out. So that's the kind of thing that is going to be coming back in, because then as a consumer, you know, you're going to do the right thing to get your money back on your container.
Is it also about, you know, buying locally as well, you know, bringing back those communities within the larger communities? Is that important? Because, like,
I think so. During COVID and the lockdown, you know, we've heard a lot about local businesses, you know, kind of going under because, you know, just due to hardship. And so I, for example, there's a couple of local breweries that I've got on Facebook you know, and I saw they were delivering, asking people to help them, otherwise they were going to go under. So, you know, I ordered local beer. We've got local greengrocers that we go and get stuff from. The thing is, it's more difficult. It's more time consuming. It's not as convenient. And so that's the thing. For reuse and refill and zero waste to become, you know, the mainstream, we have to make it as convenient as possible for the consumer.
That's true. I mean, I have a little wine shop on the corner that I always go to, and they have a refillable bottle that they fill from a keg. And I mean, I'm there far too often getting my refills, but you know, it is more time consuming, but actually it's so nice walking in there and being like, hey, Christoph, how's it going? I'm going to get my Merlot again or whatever. I love that. So yeah, it is more time consuming, but it's also fulfilling in a way that shopping hasn't been or isn't really when you just go to a big place. And I'm sure like you feel good about supporting your local brewery as well.
Well, I suppose, you know, there's local farmers markets. You know, we go to one in Wimbledon, which is quite close to where we live. And it is nice. You get some real nice artisan products, you know, and it's nice to know that they're grown, you know, they're grown a lot more locally than what you're going to get from the supermarket.
So, absolutely. I mean, I live in Bermondsey and I'm at Maltby Street Market every weekend getting those empanadas. I love it. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much, Steve. You've kind of eased my pain, but now I really need to go sort out the bins downstairs and yell at someone. Put the blame on someone else.
Perfect. And one last thing. If you want to know what you can recycle with TerraCycle in the UK, it's terracycle.co.uk. And if you're interested in a zero-waste shopping platform, it's loopstore.co.uk. And you'll be seeing it in Tesco next year.
Amazing. You've done this before. You know how to get those plugs in there.
I've done one or two.
Thank you so much.
Perfect. Thanks very much.
Bye. Thank you for listening to another episode of the Estée Lalonde Show. If you'd like to keep up to date with all of our new episodes, make sure you subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Estée Lalonde Show. If you want to be extra nice and support the show, then you can leave us a rating as well.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.